now it's time to take a ride with Joe Spano and Bob Black, the Spano and Black Attack, on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio. It's sports talk at its best. Now, here's Bob and Joe.
Once we're all happy at the same time.
Well, indeed we are. Good day, America, and welcome to the Spano and Black Attack. Bob Black, Joe Spano, Sandy Roberto out on the West Coast, and you, the phone number is 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. It's a toll-free telephone number of the attack. Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, they take us along for the ride each and every day. We have affiliates that we love them. They give us love right back. But we don't talk about them very much because it's a given that they're going to be there for us. And we give them the good programming that they look forward to each and every day. But it's all about how you can get that programming. It's about the platforms. It's about radio on the go. It's about technology in this brand new century. It's a little old now, but it's still a brand new century. And Joe knows more about it than anybody else. So he's here to talk about it with you.
Well, all right, Bob. I'll tell the people the myriad of ways that they can take the Sports Byline Broadcast Network on the go with them. And it starts with the award-winning website of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, sportsbyline.com. There's a listen live link that allows you to keep up with all the doings on the network as they happen. And on our homepage, a wealth of archived interviews, and they're separated by genre. All that more at sportsbyline.com. There's iHeartRadio, great app. You can download it to any device you can think of, be it Apple, be it Android, be it PC, or just go to iHeart.com. Again, there's a wealth of on-demand content from the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and a Sports Byline Broadcast Network live channel on iHeartRadio. Very much the same thing for TuneIn Radio. Again, app versatility. You can download it to an Android device, an Apple device, a PC. You can go to TuneIn.com. There's also a wealth of on-demand content as well as a Sports Byline Broadcast Network channel on TuneIn Radio. There's Stitcher.com, the new face of radio. And, of course, the American Forces Radio Network around the world, where the good people of our armed forces check out the Spano and Black Attack and all the other great programming on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Yep, and if we're giving you that little taste of home when you're far, far away, we're happy and proud to do it.
All right, Bob, we got a jam-packed great show for you today on a hump day edition of The Attack. On the other side, we'll set the table and start knocking things down. We'll take your calls at 800-878-PLAY, your tweets at JoeSpano56, at BobBlack71, at SportsBylineUSA. That's all next on The Attack, so you be sure to keep it where it is.
How fast are Allegra gel caps?
I didn't know you got a cat fast.
How strong are Allegra gel caps?
10 more lawns to go strong.
Non-drowsy Allegra gel caps give you noticeable relief of your indoor and outdoor allergies. It starts working in just 1 hour, 2 times faster than Claritin's first dose, and stays strong for 24 hours.
It's relief when the pollen's off the charts strong, even in the convertible.
Allegra gel caps. Nothing's faster, nothing's stronger among OTC-branded oral antihistamines. Use only as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
At Lowe's, we appreciate our pro customers and how hard you work to get the most out of your budget. So we offer pro-focused events where you can take advantage of special savings. Right now, during Pro Bonus Days, you can save 15% off select paint and primer in one and stain and sealant. Plus, get 20% off Purdy paintbrushes. Valid 6-6 through 6-10. Applies to 342 fluid ounce pails or greater. Exclusions apply. See Pro Desk in-store for required coupons, details, and exclusions, or go to lowesforpros.com. U.S. only.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
We're in Hawaii and having a great time, all thanks to AARP. We use their trip planner to help us pick our destination, and we were able to save money on our travel arrangements, too.
If you're over 50 and looking to take advantage of valuable information and discounts, then it's time to join the over 37 million members that have instant access to AARP's resources, travel planning, financial tools and tips, dining and entertainment discounts, and more.
AARP really helped me with professional services for transitioning from one career to another.
Check out their new app. It's amazing. I get articles that matter to me, and the Discount Finder map makes it so easy to find savings on shopping and restaurants close by.
Join AARP for just $16 a year. That's less than a nickel a day. And membership includes your spouse free. Plus, get a free gift just for joining. Don't wait. Join AARP today. Call 800-710-8249 or go to aarpoffer.org. Your benefits start the minute you join. Call 800-710-8249. Call 800-710-8249.
You're listening to Sports Talk at its best. The Spano and Black Attack on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I mean, what does that actually mean? That, I mean, it's, I think for me to go out and be who I am and play as is true to the game and as hard as I can and try to lead this team is who I am, not anybody else. I'm not Michael, I'm not Ali, I'm not nobody else that's done so many great things for sport. I am who I am, and you know, if I'm able to go out and put together a game like that, it wasn't because I was possessed, it's because I've worked on my craft all season long, and you know, that's the result of it. So Phil's a great coach. Mike's the great player, but I'm who I am.
Well, that was the voice of LeBron James, Bob, and he's going to help us tip off this Wednesday hump day edition of the Spano and Black Attack right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Again, I'm Joe Spano. He's Bob Black. 1-800-878-PLAY if you want to join the fray. Again, if you want to weigh in, 1-800-878-7529. It's the toll-free number to hang out with us here on the Attack. For those that prefer Twitter, at Joe Spano 56, at Bob Black 71, at Sports Byline USA. And we have a huge two-hour extravaganza on tap for you on this Wednesday edition of the Spano and Black Attack. We're going to be previewing Game 3 NBA Finals, and that's where we're going to start. That'll probably take us right up until 40 after hour number 1, 8:40 a.m. Eastern Time, when Steve Popper from The Record joins us. And we'll talk about the Knicks making the hiring of Jeff Hornacek official, their off-season plans as far as free agency, their efforts to get back into the NBA draft, whether Phil is having his power usurped by Jim Dolan, all that and more at 40 after hour number 1 with Steve Popper from The Record. And then as we roll into hour number 2, we're going to continue our week-long reflections and memorial of the greatest, Muhammad Ali. And at 10 after hour number 2, 9:10 a.m. Eastern Time, we're going to be joined by the Easton Assassin, the former heavyweight champion of the world, Larry Holmes. He'll join us at 10 after hour number 2, and we'll talk to him about his time and his reflections on Muhammad Ali. I think it'll be a very interesting interview. And then from there, we'll probably spend most of the rest of the show, again, reflecting on Muhammad Ali, as there's still chapters we haven't covered, and our reactions to the interview with Larry Holmes. So it'll be a jam-packed 2 hours. Your calls all the way through at 800-878-PLAY. Again, that's 800-878-7529. Your tweets at Joe Spano 56, at Bob Black 71, or at Sports Byline USA. And as time permits, the very back end of the show, there's always some baseball to tackle. There's always some men's soccer to tackle. There's always some NFL to tackle. If we can get to any of those things, we will. But the focus is going to be NBA Finals Game 3. A touch of New York Knicks sprinkled in there for good measure. And again, most of hour 2 will be focused on the greatest. He floats like a butterfly. He stings like a bee. He is Muhammad Ali.
He certainly is. And, you know, the retrospective that we've been doing over the course of the week, I think, speaks volumes, because very few iconic figures come into the world of sports these days. And I mean people that you will end up talking about for the rest of your life. And he was one of them. And you know, we'll go down that road with Larry Holmes. But it's all about Cleveland today. It's all about LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in the 2-0 hole that they put themselves into, but nothing really starts until you lose one at home, and that's going to either go one way or the other tonight as they match up against the Golden State Warriors, Joe.
Yeah, here, let me go out on that gigantic redwood. This is a must-win game three for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And
I think it's pretty obvious. I think you made some great points here.
Let me write that down. Hang on.
Yeah, take notes here.
Okay.
Must win game three for Cavs.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
It.
I think we all know how important this game is for the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's pretty darn obvious. Again, as we've talked about, it's been very easy, particularly in game two for Golden State. But as we've also talked about, and we're going to present this kind of balanced ticket of this series, the Warriors have, neither team has lost a game on their home floor. All the Warriors did was hold serve. I want to minimize the impact of it because they've done it in dominating fashion. And courtesy of ESPN stats and information, I have a whole bunch of numbers that illustrate this level of dominance. But at the same time, even as we illustrate how dominant Golden State's been and how finally for the first time in this postseason, they're probably playing up to that gold standard that they achieved throughout that 73-win regular season, in particular on the defensive end. The rotations are fast once again. The closeouts are decisive once again, something that was lacking for much of their playoff run through the Western Conference. It's shown up in spades here in the NBA Finals, and that every bit as much, if not more, than their offense has put them up 2-0 in this series.
There is an urgency that they're bringing on defense, and as you said, it wasn't as much in the OKC series, but I also think the particular matchup had something to do with that, in that the physicality of the big guys of OKC is something that they're not really facing against Cleveland. It's a more aesthetically comparable matchup for this team, Joe, and I think it allows them to get man on man with people that they're comfortable with, rather than one of their 6-7 guys trying to go up against Steven Adams, and I think that helps them a little bit. And I also think they're smelling it, they're seeing the finish line, and that gives you a little extra zip in your step when you're that close to defending and going back to back, and as we've talked about, making sure that 70-win season doesn't turn into an afterthought in NBA history. So there's a lot of things going on here, but Cleveland on the other side of the street is facing some similar things themselves. They've been undefeated at home throughout the playoffs. They're ready to go, at least according to what they're saying. And I want to see how this plays out tonight. We both liked Cleveland and their ability because of the fact they were the healthier team coming in. Excuse me. But the reality is, as you said on the Mighty Oak, it you lose this game, it's going to be a very short series.
Well said. If
it'll
they
be
lose
a very
tonight,
short series.
It will be over in – if they lose tonight, it'll be over in five. Because I think this is a Cavaliers team behind LeBron James that if they were to lose this game, they would not quit in game four. But they'd get run over in game five, and it'd be a short series. That said, they must win tonight to stay in this series and to have any chance to turn this around. Because all of a sudden, if they protect their home floor, regardless of the level of dominance with which they do it, all of a sudden it's a three-game series where the Warriors have home court advantage, and now it would be on the Cavaliers to steal a game somewhere in that short three-game series. But if they don't win both here, the Golden State Warriors are on their way to an easy and decisive NBA title. They'd win back-to-back NBA titles. They'll have set a regular season win record. And we'll be talking about this Golden State Warriors group as one of the great teams in NBA history. That said, we're not there yet. We've talked about it. Neither team has won a game on the opposition's home floor. And while Golden State's won every matchup and made it look easy, and they have, game one more competitive than game two. Game two was a blowout, not from stem to stern, but thoroughly controlled by the Golden State Warriors. And really, when you look at these matchups, and we'll talk about it more on the other side, the level of domination through two games, and, you know, while we don't want to make light of it because neither team has won a game on the opposition's home floor, we're believers that the series hasn't begun and that Cleveland's not out of this. And I think we both are steadfast in that. We're also steadfast in that this game is a must-win game for the Cavaliers. But on the other side, let's go take a look at just how dominant the Golden State Warriors have been and give some credence to why many people believe that at this early juncture, this series is already over. There are a lot of numbers through the first two games of this series that point to this being a very, very short series, despite the fact that the road team, the home team thus far, has held serve and nothing more. We'll do that next on the Spano and Black Attack. Take your calls at 800-878-PLAY. Your tweets at JoeSpano56, at BobBlack71, at SportsBylineUSA. We're the Spano and Black Attack. More right after this.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
You're listening to Sports Talk at its best. The Spano and Black Attack on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
That's what I pray for every night.
As well you should. Welcome back to the Attack. Bob Black, Joe Spano. 1-800-878-PLAY is the phone number, 1-800-878-7529. It's NBA hour right here as we're talking about Cleveland and Golden State. And before we went to break, Joe was talking about how statistically it's just so completely dominant by Golden State over Cleveland that many people have written this series off. We're not two of them, but many people have, and there is some justification for that.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a bunch of numbers at you that don't bode well going forward for the Cavaliers and show a level of dominance for Golden State that that supports the belief that many have that this is going to be a very short series. Again, Bob and I are not of that mindset, and we've spelled out why in the last segment. All that happened through the first two games was the home team protecting serve, and we've said it many times. You don't really start an NBA playoff series until the home team loses a game. That hasn't happened yet. So for that reason, Bob and I still think there's potentially a long way to go in this series. That coupled with the fact that, in all reality, the single best player on the floor plays for Cleveland. He's the guy with the best ability to take over the game like nobody else on the floor for either team. All apologies to Steph Curry and everybody else. LeBron James has an ability to take over a basketball game like nobody else on the floor. That said, Golden State has dominated in record-setting fashion. Through two games, this is the most lopsided of NBA finals, with the Cavs being outscored by 48 points through the first two games. That's an NBA finals record. So some other interesting numbers. The last time LeBron James lost back-to-back games by this kind of margin, regular season or postseason, you're going all the way back to March of 2005. So LeBron James teams don't get beat up like this. You know, that's another level of dominance that I think is telling on some level. This one was most telling of all. And I guess this is the one that makes you rethink Cleveland's chances for getting scoring, assists, and everything else. The Warriors have beaten the Cavaliers seven straight games. You know, that's home, away, regular season, postseason, seven straight games. Now, that's the longest streak that any team's had as far as consecutive success against a LeBron-led team. And here's something that's even more interesting to show you the level of dominance of late in those seven games. Do you know in the fourth quarters combined of all those seven games, the Cavaliers have led for exactly 14 seconds? That's the one that makes me worry the most. It looks like in this styles make fights matchup where I thought that Cleveland was clicking on all cylinders and Golden State was struggling at times coming into this series, where I thought Cleveland was well rested and I thought Golden State was going to be tired and beat up from the grind of the Western Conference playoffs. And that those things, that along with the three-point shooting proficiency that Cleveland has shown throughout this postseason, those things all combined made me believe that the Cavaliers, with their small ball, fast approach, could outdo the Golden State Warriors at their own game, much like Oklahoma City had done for chunks of the Western Conference Finals. Well, that hasn't been the case. That hasn't been the situation in this series. In the styles make fights, in the mirror image matchup between two teams playing small ball, it's been the Golden State Warriors, and those are just a couple of numbers that show the level of dominance that have been extremely dominant thus far in this series, Bob.
Well, you know, I've seen some of that stuff, and the one that stuck out to me was what you were talking about at the end, and that's just the inability to compete in the fourth quarter. I had seen that. And also the fact that seven straight wins. I mean, sometimes a team has your number, and that's in any sport. And at this point in time, it seems as if Golden State has Cleveland's number. But again, with all of that, the one luxury in this sport, and unlike football, let's say, is just it's not one and done. And you can put a horrific game like they had in game two in the rearview mirror if mentally you're disciplined and you're capable of doing that. And you come out, you win your next game, and off to the races you go. So I think there's a lot of validity in what you said as far as the statistics go, because it seems as if, although we felt Cleveland could beat Golden State at their own game, that Golden State, at least to this point and for the previous seven games, is just flat out better at it than Cleveland is. Now, in that seven-game stretch, don't forget, it was a different lineup at some points. It was a different coach at some points. So, you know, that has to play into the mix as well. But of recent vintage, they just look dominant, and Cleveland can't match up. And as of right now, I mean, we've been saying it, LeBron has not been the best player on the court in this series thus far. He obviously can still do it. This is his opportunity where he's going to have to prove it and take control of this series personally. We both think he's going to do it tonight specifically. But where it goes from there remains to be seen. And we've talked and emphasized the fact that this is a must-win game for Cleveland. Actually, it's must-win games. They have to win both.
Take care of your business at home like you have all postseason long. As you said, 7-0 at home in the postseason. Take care of your business and make it 2-2 after four, and you're right back in this thing despite an awful first two games.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know, even if they win tonight and, you know, they're feeling good and, okay, we got our mojo back and all this kind of good stuff, they lose game four, they're out of the series. It's the same stat. They're 3-1 going out to Oakland, and they're going to lose.
Let's talk about a couple more things here. I think we've given enough numbers that illustrate, and there's more that I can give. And one I'll give you that'll lead me into a question here. Cavs' small lineup is minus 49 in this series. So when these two have been locking up in that small ball lineup, it's been all Golden State. And their defense has really led to a lot of greatness on their on the offensive end for them. That said, Love is a game-time decision, it looks like, as he goes through the concussion protocol.
Right.
So now you've been dominated thus far. And you've been dominated playing ball the way you've had success throughout the postseason, which is the same way that Golden State's had success throughout the postseason. And it looks like they do what you've been doing well better than you do what you've been doing well. How do you adjust going forward? Do you all of a sudden dust off Timothy Mozgov after you've killed his confidence and try and go big and beat them up? Or do you, if you don't have Kevin Love, do you go even smaller and have lots of ball handlers, lots of floor spacing, let LeBron take over, but at the same time slow the game down into a half-court slog that kind of forces Golden State to turn over the ball? One thing we all know about Golden State, when you slow them down, they get sloppy and impatient with the basketball, and that can lead to a lot of points in transition for you and perhaps help your offense. So I kind of throw this at you. What do you think Tyronn Lue will do? What kind of changes do you think he will make? What kind of changes do you think he should make? And what do you think will work for the Cleveland Cavaliers in this pivotal game three?
Well, if I had all the answers to that, I'd be sitting on the bench next to him advising him. But I don't see how they can switch up and all of a sudden dust off Timothy Mozgov. It, as you said, they've kind of killed his confidence. LeBron wants to play small ball. And look, they've acquiesced to his wishes, and they've had a lot of success with it. Look at where they are. If they blink now, I think it ends up killing this team. And I still think that they're capable of beating Golden State at this game. I'm not going to back off what I talked about. I truly think they are capable. Could I see a scenario where they play a bigger lineup sometimes and try to create some mismatches? Yeah, I could see a 10-minute stretch of that where they do a little bit of that and just throw a different wrinkle, and maybe that's the adjustment that they make. But a full-blown commitment to a bigger lineup to all of a sudden try to get physical with Golden State, I don't see that happening. I don't think they can do it at this point in time. It's literally like slamming your car from fourth into first and all of a sudden just trying to grind it down. And I think what's going to happen is the tranny will fall out. And I think that they just need to be better on defense. You know, one thing we talked about was the amount of bunnies that Cleveland missed in both games, you know, specifically game one. And, you know, make those shots. You make those shots, you probably win game one. And
we're having a different discussion right
now. And we're having a different discussion. So, you know, I've heard a lot of people speculate as to whether or not going to the bigger lineup is the direction to go. I don't think so. I just don't see how all of a sudden that decision gets made. Will you see a little bit more of the bigger guys? Yeah, probably. probably.
They don't have any other big guys but Timothy Mozgov, so maybe you're hoping and seeing more of him. And I think you killed him, so I think you're probably right. Maybe a little more, but not much.
Yeah.
And I think if Love plays, you stay with your same rotations. And two things need to happen. LeBron's just got to just take over the game. No more deferring to the rest of your big three and your role players. That's number one. Number two, everybody else has to be better.
Yeah.
You know, not only the members of the big three, but most specifically these role players. The role players for the Cavs have to be better. And you also have to hope that the role players for the Warriors can't continue to play this well on the road in comparison to the way they did at home. And that's kind of the norm in the NBA. You get those couple of things, but most importantly, LeBron taking over this game the way we all know he's capable of, and now you got something. And I think you got a chance. I think you're going to see the best of LeBron tonight, no deferring at all. And I think you'll see a Cavaliers victory. Steve Popper from The Record joins us next here on The Attack. We're going to talk Knicks, so keep it where it is.
In that neighborhood, it was almost impossible to get what we could afford. So I had set up alerts on Zillow to say, if anything in this area ever comes below a certain price point, it just popped up one day. Wonderful the house is so cool.
Home means something different to everyone. With millions of homes for sale.
And I was like, oh my God, we have to go see it. It's a really wonderful neighborhood. And then to add on to that, how
bent on Zillow, whatever home means to you, Zillow can help you find it.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE, 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483 or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
Geico applauds your inner journey seeker.
Geico gives a hearty pat on the back to the part of you that just wants to get out and ride your motorcycle, to take to the open road and let the wind and bugs fly your way. In fact, bring on the bugs. They can't stop your quest for highway enlightenment. Geico insures not only your car, but also that fine-looking bike of yours, with a custom-tailored policy and the best rates for you. So next time you suit up for adventure, make sure to take Geico along for the ride.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
You're listening to Sports Talk at its best. The Spano and Black Attack on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
Welcome back to The Attack. Bob Black, Joe Spano. Phones go to hold as we're joined by Steve Popper from The Record. He's all things basketball, covering the Knicks, covering the Nets, and anything else that pops in as far as basketball in the NBA goes. And he joins us here on The Attack. Good morning, Steve. Bob Black and Joe Spano. Nice to have you with us.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing good this morning. Thanks for coming on board. We're here to talk specifically about the Knicks, and it was an interesting scenario all the way around. It looked like Kurt Rambis was going to be the guy. There was all kinds of speculation about a few other candidates and who should come in and who shouldn't come in, and all of a sudden out of left field, it ended up being Jeff Hornacek. And why don't you walk us through the process as best you know?
I was going to say best you know is a disclaimer with the Knicks. Look, I think that Phil had made it pretty clear in his end of the season media session and everything that we heard from other people, you know, other candidates and their agents, was that Kurt was the guy that Phil wanted to put in place. But I think he saw a reaction from the Garden to a lot of outrage from fans, from media. You know, even players kind of dropping hints that they didn't want to go in that direction. You know, you've got a star, you know, Carmelo Anthony, whose time is frankly running out a little bit. And, you know, when you saw Kurt there last year, this team was far, far away from contention, from getting anything done. And the triangle, you know, to just sit there and say we're going to do it this way, this is going to be our style, it just seemed to be turning off players around the league, which they need to turn this around. They're far away. So I think what happened was you saw when he took a lot of criticism for, you know, not talking to guys. You know, Tom Thibodeau, Scott Brooks, Jeff Van Gundy, you know, even Mark Jackson. There are a lot of candidates out there that were worth talking to, and the Knicks never made the call. So, you know, they started to, you know, increase the parameters of the search. Started to go a couple of guys who were sort of, you know, we searched for the little connections to Phil because he said this is going to be somebody that I know, someone that's, you know, that I'm simpatico with. And when you look at Hornacek, who wound up getting it, he's really no connection to Phil. So it was interesting, you know, how this turned about, how the guys who started getting tossed to. I think it's a big upset for a lot of people, and I think probably Phil, maybe more than anyone, that, you know, he can say what he wants now, but it clearly isn't the way he plotted this going.
Well, let's talk about that. I think you've made it clear, and I'll make this kind of a two-part question, and you can attack it however you see fit. Would it be fair to say, number one, that Phil Jackson was dragged into the Hornacek hiring, kicking and screaming, number one? And number two, is this a case of Jim Dolan usurping Phil's power? And does this end unceremoniously, much the way Donnie Walsh's tenure ended in New York?
Well, I'm not sure that it's going to end like Donnie, because Phil is as stubborn and tough-minded as Dolan is. I do think that somebody at the Garden clearly got involved. You know, the tide really turned on Rambis and kind of Phil's insistence on kind of being stubborn with this. You know, I mean, you know, you just look at how it turned out. It's clear that this was not the direction that Phil thought he was going. You know, and maybe Phil's fooling us, because in the end, we've seen little by little hints from Hornacek that, you know, he's talked more and more about triangle aspects and using part of this. He's a good candidate, I think. I think he's a good guy, well-liked around the league, well-respected, and did a good job at Phoenix. But it's going to be interesting to see if he sticks by his guns and does things the way he wants to do them, or if Phil has, you know, takes hold of this. I think we've all thought since Phil came aboard that he didn't have much interest in the day-to-day grind of this. And even the Hornacek hiring is kind of, you know, has some odd hints in it that, you know, Phil made a point of telling everyone, you know, that this was the first guy he called, first call he made for an interview. Well, you set up the interview for a month away, and in the meantime, the guy interviews for two other jobs. You interviewed a bunch of other people. If this is your first choice, you know, they have planes, they have phones. Why wouldn't you get out and talk to them and find out? Because clearly there was very little connection between these guys. You know, Phil tried to paint it that, you know, they had this long, you know, respect for each other, and then Jeff at the press conference didn't quite play the script and said, you know, the only words I've ever spoken with him are, you know, congratulations on beating us.
Steve Popper from The Record joining us here on The Attack. And, you know, in one of your articles after Hornacek was hired, is that you know, he has an expiration date. It's a 3-year deal, and it kind of coincides with everything else that's going on. It'll be about the time Carmelo's done. And, you know, I guess they're really putting it, it's got to happen now with Carmelo, with Porzingis, and with you. You better get it done. And here's your 3 years. It's not the usual 4 or 5 years. And I think they've already put Hornacek on notice before he's ever coached a game.
Absolutely. And that's a really confounding thing because, you know, Jeff does have a bit of a resume. You know, he was second coach of the year balloting his first year in Phoenix. Did a nice job turning them around. You know, injuries and some you know, front office problems there. They broke it, you know, down some of what he was doing. You know, and made a quick fire, quick scapegoat of him. But, you know, he's a guy who did establish himself and is well-respected. And you see guys coming, including, you know, Derek Fisher, getting a better deal than this. It's very strange that this is what they gave him. And I think the timeline is what matters, is that Phil has long talked about, I'm going to get a guy who's, you know, I'm going to make this go beyond me. I'm building the foundation, and it will last beyond me. Well, someone at the Garden is saying, no, it's not going to last beyond you. We're going to see, you know, the end of your contract, and if we don't like what you built here, that's the end of it, and we move on to something else.
Well, you know, you talked a little bit earlier in our time together about the style of play, the triangle offense. What are we going to see here as it relates to style of play from the Jeff Hornacek-led Knicks?
You know, when we've talked, I've talked to some scouts and other people around the league, and they have a lot of respect for what he did in Phoenix. He took the personnel he had, which was kind of an odd personnel, you know, a very point guard driven, you know, offensive minded scoring point guard, you know, system. He did some interesting things with, you know, kind of, you know, touches of what he'd learned over the years. I do think, you know, we all make a little much of the triangle. Any offense, I think, you know, any system works, you know, on two things. If you have players, you know, who have talent, if you have Michael Jordan, no matter what system, you know, Phil puts in or you or I put in, he's going to succeed. I think that, you know, the triangle can work if you have good players and they're taught it and they're given time to learn it. You know, but I don't think it was ideal to be totally, you know, adherent, you know, beholden to it that, you know, you're doing things where you're just kind of, you know, look, you had Kristaps Porzingis last year, and basically at times the offense for him consisted of standing on the three-point line, waiting for the ball to be thrown to him, take a shot. And once teams started, you know, seeing what he was doing, they put smaller guys on him, they pressure him up a little bit, and he had a hard time adjusting to it. You know, he's a 7'3" guy who was suddenly, you know, a Draymond Green in his face, you know, preventing him from putting the ball on the floor. Not giving him any space, and you know, his numbers went down. Things got tougher for him. I think if you move him around, look, if you put him in a pick and roll with Carmelo Anthony, that's a dangerous system right there. You know, coaches for the years have said, you know, the simplest offense, a little pick and roll, if you execute it properly, it almost can't be stopped. If you execute it properly with Kristaps and Carmelo, that's a pretty potent offense right there.
No question.
I think that Jeff is gonna use, you know, maybe he'll pop in some triangle aspects, but I think he's gonna also use what he's got. That's what he's shown in Phoenix.
Well, no question about it. But I also think part of that, the thinking, at least as far as Rambis went, was that Porzingis regressed on the back end of the season, as you said, standing out on the 3-point line. Kurt tried to get him to operate a little more down low, but, you know, the physical aspect of the league was already wearing on him at that point. He's got to put more weight on him, more muscle on and all that. And I understand philosophically what Kurt wanted to do, but in reality, Porzingis was not prepared physically to go down on the blocks and compete with the big guys, at least not in his rookie season. I'm sure that didn't help Rambis's case.
Yeah, I think something you just said there is really kind of the point is some of these things work in theory, but you need the right people, you need the right, you know, the right way to get through to people and to get your message out, to get players to learn. But it seemed like, you know, look, you know, Derek Fisher never put in maybe the time he should have in making this work and teaching guys, you know, look, you know, we can say what we want, but he shouldn't be heading home, for, you know, across the country, you know, during training camp when you're 17 and 65 your first year. That kind of filters down to the team. I think you need But this is why I was always a Thibodeau guy. Thibodeau's a guy who will work, you know, 23 hours a day to get this done. And, you know, he'll ask that of his players, too. I think that's what you need to turn a franchise around that's had a hard time. And I think Hornacek, you know, look, he played for Jerry Sloan. I think he's going to have a bit of that. And I think that's going to be a good thing. I think we sit here laboring about, you know, what his system is going to be. I think the important thing is getting through to players, getting them to buy into whatever it is he's doing, and getting them to, you know, to execute it, as simple as it may be, properly, you know, and repeating it.
Well, I think you made great points, most notably, it could be Red Auerbach as the head coach. If you don't have personnel, you're not going to win, especially in today's NBA. So with that being said, do they have plans? If they don't have personnel, they got to go get some. They don't have a draft pick right now. They're not in the draft. So I'll make this kind of a two-part question. You take it anywhere you want to go. Do they have any plans or desires to get back into this draft, number one? Number two, what's the plan of attack in free agency? And I guess number three, following up on that plan of attack in free agency, what's the perception around the league of this franchise? And, you know, are the New York Knicks still a desirable stop despite having money to spend right now?
Well, it's the oddest thing. I mean, well, take your first part. They are not in the draft now, but they do want to get in. Everything we hear is, you know, from other teams is that there, you know, there's talk, and they do want to get at least second rounders, which is what they've done in the past with Phil. They did manage to get a first rounder last year. I don't know that they have a piece this year that's going to land you a first rounder. I think the path they need is sort of the one that Phil took last year. They need veterans who can help right away. Is the 50th pick going to help Carmelo now? Probably not. We talk about Hornacek's system. It was very point guard driven, and you know everyone's out there looking for what point guard they can get. I'm not sure that's their biggest need. I think if Aaron Aflalo opts out, they really don't have a two guard on the roster. They've got a lot. You know, I think that their first thing they should seek out this summer is an athletic, you know, wing 2-3 type guy. I think they always play better when they play with Carmelo at the four. You know, if they move Porzingis to the five, then you're creating odd matchups. Robin Lopez had a good year for them. But the problem is, and this is part of Phil's thinking, is they're a 1995, you know, let's play Charles Oakley, you know, whatever type team. Playing in a game where, you know, look at the Warriors, how they're playing the game now. The Knicks don't have beat at any position. They don't have athleticism. I think by at least shifting guys over like that, you know, Carmelo is a little more athletic as a four than he is as a three. You know, he can't keep up with the threes in the league. You know, you want to switch on defense. These guys can't do it. Porzingis is athletic as a five, not as a four. I think they need to get some athletic 2-3 type guys. And the one thing I would say is, try and find guys, this is something they didn't do last summer, guys from winning programs with winning mentalities who know what it takes. You know, you bring in a Derek Williams, he's a highlight film type guy, but he's played on losing teams and he doesn't defend and he didn't understand the system for a year. I think that's a losing strategy for you.
Well, Steve, we appreciate the couple of minutes. Other than grabbing your articles on the Record, which are outstanding, how else can our listening audience find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Steve Popper, and that's usually where the Knicks will get angry at me. So it's usually a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but we try not to be too serious and angry with them.
Very good. Thanks for the couple minutes, man. Please come back. We'd love to have you back on board.
Anytime, guys.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye, Steve Popper from the Record, Joe. And, he made some great points, you know. I mean, he was a Thibodeau guy. He was wanting to campaign for him. I saw some of the articles that he was writing about that. But, he also likes Hornacek. I think Hornacek can succeed, you know, if he's just not pressured from above to run it a certain way. I think he's a pretty solid coach.
We're going to find out. Let's tie a bow around hour one on the other side. We're Spano and Black on Sports Byline. You be sure to keep it where it's at.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
You're listening to Sports Talk at its best. The Spano and Black Attack on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
You see, everything is all right.
Phil Jackson bringing us back to the attack. Well, maybe not. Joe, it's funny. You mentioned it with Steve. It's, you don't have talent, you don't win. And we've talked about how most rosters in the NBA have an abundance of talent in many instances, but the Knicks are not one of them, and they're going to have to adjust that, get some guys through free agency, as we talked about with Steve, maybe going back into the second round of the draft and grabbing a guy or two, but we'll see how it plays out. But they got a lot of work to do, a lot of heavy lifting.
They sure do, Bob, and it's going to be an interesting and very important summer in New York. On that note, we tie a bow around a terrific hour one. We gave you a great preview of Game 3 of the NBA Finals and a whole bunch of things to watch out for in that regard. And we talked New York Knicks stem to stern with Steve Popper from the Bergen Record. It's a great way to finish up hour one. We have a huge hour two upcoming, and we'll get you set up for it on the other side. But right now we have to step aside for the news here on Sports Byline. Then we'll be back at you with hour two of the attack.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Your effort
efforts have produced a strong majority of the popular vote.
Well, Hillary Clinton claims victory in the race for the Democratic presidential nomination, but Bernie Sanders says he's not giving up.
I am pretty good in arithmetic, and I know that the fight in front of us is a very, very steep fight. But we will continue to fight for every vote and every delegate.
Many Democratic Party leaders were hoping Sanders would drop out of the race as they feared the divisions within the party will continue to grow. One in four Sanders supporters surveyed said they would definitely not support Hillary Clinton. I'm Jason Wirt.
Donald Trump tells his critics to get over it. The likely Republican presidential nominee facing backlash for pointing out the Mexican heritage of that judge overseeing a fraud lawsuit over Trump University. And the pilots of two F-16 fighter jets safe after a midair crash over Georgia last night. South Carolina Air National Guard saying both pilots ejecting. This is USA Radio News.
If you'd like to control your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news. My name is Floyd Brown, and I'm the CEO of USA Radio. It's called the Zona Plus, and it's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. I'm using it myself. 22 clinical studies confirm regular use of the Zona Plus can decrease your blood pressure by 10% or more. That's why it's been written about by Harvard, the Mayo Clinic, and the American Heart Association. As a listener to USA Radio, the company is offering you a special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to ZonaPlusUSA.com. That's ZonaPlusUSA.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention USA Radio and save $50 on your Zona Plus and change your life. Remember, ZonaPlusUSA.com.
A 50-year-old man is in jail after a deadly hit-and-run accident involving nine bike riders in western Michigan. The Kalamazoo County prosecutor says five people were killed and four hurt when a man driving a pickup hit a group from behind yesterday evening. Authorities expecting to file charges later this week. Another troubling U.S.-Chinese encounter being reported by the Pentagon this morning. We get details from USA Radio's Chris Barnes.
U.S. defense officials say a Chinese fighter jet intercepted a U.S. reconnaissance aircraft in what they call an unsafe manner above the East China Sea. Officials saying the RC-135 was on a routine mission when the Chinese jet closed in at a high rate of speed. The encounter taking place is Secretary of State John Kerry and the Secretary of the Treasury Jack Lew are in Beijing for an annual meeting with Chinese officials over strategic and economic issues. And last month, a similar incident took place over the South China Sea. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Get breaking news online at usaradio.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Voters in California may soon be able to snap ballot box selfies without breaking the law.
The fact that there are people out there with hundreds of thousands or millions of followers on social media that will get a social cue that not only is it time to vote, but it's the cool thing to do. That is critically important to get a new generation of voters voting.
Assemblyman Mark Levine has authored a new bill that allows ballot box selfies. The bill passing through the House and will be voted on by the Senate tomorrow. It's expected to hit the governor's desk by September. Right now, California law prohibits photos and videos within 100 feet of the polling places. Some are concerned about the exposure to the Zika virus at this year's Olympics. USA Radio's Anthony Lucero has the story.
Well, it turns out that the chances of the Zika virus infecting many people at this summer's Olympics are quite low. New research from a Sao Paulo-based group predicts that the Rio Games will result in no more than 15 infections among foreign visitors. The projection echoes the thoughts of Brazil's new sports minister, who said pretty much the same thing earlier this week. The Games are slated to begin on August 5th. I'm Anthony Lucero.
A troubling report that more college students are reporting sexual assaults on campus. New data released by the U.S. Department of Education shows that about 100 colleges had at least 10 reports of rape in 2014. The University of Connecticut and Brown University had the highest number of reports with 43 each. This is USA Radio News.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
And now it's time to take a ride with Joe Spano and Bob Black, the Spano and Black Attack, on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio. It's sports talk at its best. Now, here's Bob and Joe.
We've got the excitement here that we look for.
Well, indeed we do. Welcome back to The Attack. Bob Black, Joe Spano, Sandy Roberto out on the West Coast. And the phone number is 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Man, do we have a big hour two in front of us, my friend.
We sure do, Bob. I mean, we're going to have the Eastern Assassin, Larry Holmes, joining us right on the other side. And I think everybody's going to enjoy hearing us talk to the Eastern Assassin, because he was as close to Ali as anybody, and a lot closer than a lot of people that others are interviewing. We've done a great job of this week of getting you people that had real and meaningful interaction with Muhammad Ali in their lives, whether it be the president and CEO of the museum that was specifically entrusted to preserve his legacy. We did that on Monday. Jackie Callen, who was a trailblazer, much like Muhammad Ali, who had a lot of interaction with her. And few, if any, in the world of sport had more interaction with Muhammad Ali than Larry Holmes. And we're going to talk to him right on the other side of this break. And then, you know, as hour two continues to unfold, we'll continue to talk Muhammad Ali, and we'll talk about our interview with Larry, some of the other interviews, and continue to talk about his legacy, because there's so much we still haven't covered. And then as time permits down the stretch, we'll talk about a couple of other things in the world of sports if we have time. But the focus in hour two, again, is going to be the greatest, Muhammad Ali, Bob.
No question about it. And as you said, and I think accurately so, it's going to be a fun thing to listen to.
It sure is, Bob. And I'm really, really looking forward to talking to Larry on the other side. And yep. On that note, what do you say we step out? And on the other side, the aforementioned Eastern Assassin Larry Holmes joins us next here on the Spano and Black Attack. And we really look forward to it. We think you will, too. So you be sure to keep it right where it is.
How fast are Allegra gel caps?
I didn't know you got a cat fast.
How strong are Allegra gel caps?
10 more lawns to go strong.
Non-drowsy Allegra gel caps give you noticeable relief of your indoor and outdoor allergies. It starts working in just 1 hour, 2 times faster than Claritin's first dose, and stays strong for 24 hours.
It's relief when the pollen's off the charts strong, even in the convertible.
Allegra gel caps. Nothing's faster, nothing's stronger among OTC-branded oral antihistamines. Use only as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
At Lowe's, we appreciate our pro customers and how hard you work to get the most out of your budget. So we offer pro-focused events where you can take advantage of special savings. Right now, during Pro Bonus Days, you can save 15% off select paint and primer in one and stain and sealant. Plus, get 20% off Purdy paintbrushes. Valid 6-6 through 6-10. Applies to 342 fluid ounce pails or greater. Exclusions apply. See Pro Desk in-store for required coupons, details, and exclusions, or go to lowesforpros.com. U.S. only.
My joints used to kill me.
I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
We're in Hawaii and having a great time, all thanks to AARP. We use their trip planner to help us pick our destination, and we were able to save money on our travel arrangements, too.
If you're over 50 and looking to take advantage of valuable information and discounts, then it's time to join the over 37 million members that have instant access to AARP's resources, travel planning, financial tools and tips, dining and entertainment discounts, and more.
AARP really helped me with professional services for transitioning from one career to another.
Check out their new app. It's amazing. I get articles that matter to me, and the Discount Finder map makes it so easy to find savings on shopping and restaurants close by.
Join AARP for just $16 a year. That's less than a nickel a day. And membership includes your spouse free. Plus, get a free gift just for joining. Don't wait. Join AARP today. Call 800-710-8249 or go to aarpoffer.org. Your benefits start the minute you join. Call 800-710-8249. Call 800-710-8249.
You're back with the Spano and Black Attack on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
Okay, it's our pleasure to be joined by the great heavyweight, Larry Holmes, the Eastern Assassin, who joins us here on The Attack to talk some boxing and specifically the passing of Muhammad Ali. Thanks for joining us, Larry. Bob Black, Joe Spano, we really appreciate the time and you're joining us today.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on the show.
Well, to jump right into it, you and Ali had a longstanding relationship. Talk about the very beginnings, how you first met Muhammad Ali and what he ended up meaning to you.
Well, the very first time when I met Muhammad, he was moving to Deer Lake, and that's like 50 miles from Easton, and it was nothing up there but woods, and he was up there with his trailer looking at the land, and the guy that owned the land was probably the mink farm guy, because he used to raise mink so he could make the mink coats, and we was up there, and Ollie was up there. I went up there, and I told him that I was a boxer. And he said, hold your hand up. He held his hand up. He said, hit it. I hit it. He held the hand up again. He said, hit it. I hit it again. He said, you want to put on boxing exhibition? I said, with who? He said, with me. I said, with you? Yeah. I was still amateur. He says, okay, we're going to go down to Reddington, Pennsylvania, and we're going to put on this boxing exhibition. I'm not going to hurt you or anything like that. So I said, okay, let's go. So we went down and we boxed, gave me a black eye out of that, and I wouldn't let him or anybody else put any ice on it because I wanted to brag about it to my friends that I was with Muhammad Ali and he gave me the black eye. So that was our start of our relationship.
That's a great story. You know, it's interesting, Larry, it's reputed that Muhammad was extremely tough on sparring partners, and you were obviously far and away the best of those sparring partners. You know, as your relationship moved along and you turned pro and were sparring with Ali, how tough was he for you to spar with, and how much of a physical beating was it at times?
Well, I tell you what, from the beginning, if you had to pass the test, if you couldn't pass the test, you'd out the door, man. You didn't need nobody that can make it work, you know. And even though that he took it easy my first time, my second time, the third time it wasn't easy, it was like fighting him, you know. But I only had to go 2-3 rounds. So, you know, I hung in there with him, and he let me be a part of the team. So, you know, a lot of the guys I seen that didn't, that came up there didn't stay there because either they got cocky with Ali or it was not good enough to box him and he and didn't have what he wanted. But I seemed to have what he wanted for all them years. So 4 years of having what he wanted kept me around. So that was great.
Well, you know, it was interesting. At what point did you realize, hey, I'm pretty good at this? I'm sparring with Muhammad Ali, and I'm pretty damn good.
Well, that's what I was telling the people in the amateurs. I'm pretty good. I worked with Muhammad Ali. They didn't believe it. You know, they didn't believe that I worked with Ali. They didn't believe that Muhammad Ali gave me a black eye. You know, they thought that I was just a big liar, and I never worked with Muhammad Ali. But, you know, I proved it. I proved that I was with them when they came to camp and seen us working out. They laughed. Larry, you wasn't lying. I said, no. And Ali and I became good friends because whatever he wanted to do, how many rounds he wanted to go, I'd go. I mean, I got beat up a little bit. But, you know, I was happy. And he was getting what he needed to have for a fight. So that's all that meant to me.
You know, let's move along and let's move far later in your career. You were in your prime. You were the WBC heavyweight champion, and you end up signing a contract to fight a Muhammad Ali who has very little left in the tank. This must have been bittersweet. I saw this fight. I was 11 years old. I was at the Long Island Arena watching it on closed-circuit television, and Muhammad looked great. He looked like he was in his prime, but it wasn't the same Muhammad. And I watched that fight, and I'll never forget the last round before Ali retired on his stool. You've got him in the corner. You won't hit him in the head, and you're begging referee Davy Pearl to stop the fight. Talk about your memories of this fight and how bittersweet it probably was and how hard it was for you to fight somebody you admired so much but had so little left to give in the ring.
Well, you know what? Every time I see that fight, you know, I think about it, and I feel bad about it. You know, and I told Ali from the beginning, man, don't get hurt. When we signed the deal, I knew it was a money thing for him, $10 million more money than anybody ever seen, and $3.5 million for me. You know, I was, hey, man, back from the ghetto, $3.5 million is a lot of money. So, you know, I wanted to take the fight, but I didn't want nobody to get hurt. And I said that to Ali. We're going to fight, but don't get hurt. Because, you know, I know you. I know everything about you, man. 5 years of working around with you. And, you know, we boxed at least about 4 years. We boxed. And I know you, man, so don't get hurt. You know what he said? Shut up. Fight me. Fight me. Come on. You ain't got nothing to show me something. I mean, you know, listen. Ali would not have quit. If the referee don't stop the fight, Ali would not have quit. That's how much man he was. And, you know, I didn't want to fight him no more. I didn't hurt him. I didn't want to hurt him. And I tried my damnedest not to hurt him, and I don't think I hurt him. And, you know, yeah, I felt bad after the fight. People see me crying and everything. They say, why are you crying? Because I love that guy. The man gave me a job, gave me put food in my mouth, you know, put, you know, money in my pocket. How can you hurt somebody like that?
And that's a great point. And that is the voice of the Eastern Assassin, Larry Holmes, and we're talking about his career and his perspective on the greatest Muhammad Ali. You know, I've seen it in a lot of interviews and I've read about it over the years. Muhammad was an extremely generous man, and it resulted in him being taken advantage by a lot of people, even those closest to him. Can you talk a little bit about that, Larry, his generosity and how his inner circle and his large entourage at times would take advantage of him, steal from him, and everything else?
Well, you know, I'm not going to talk about that because that happens to all of us, and I don't want to call no names and say things like, you know, but you know what went on. That's what they do. They do it to me. They did it to me. And they, you know, they don't stop. They do it till they can't do it no more, you know? So, you know, I did my job. I seen them guys argue when Ali gives $4,000 or $5,000 standing around saying 10 second time, and they said, that ain't enough money. That ain't enough money. I seen all of that. I seen how they buy groceries and take them to somebody else's house and throw them to the camp for us to eat. But I can't talk about it. I can't tell you all of that, the name-wise, you know? But they took advantage of them. They take advantage of everybody if you let them. I love that guy. I told him that. And I thought him, he says, man, if you love me, why you beat me up like that? And he had me laughing and everything. And I was laughing and crying at the same damn time. You know, and what makes it, they have something for him Thursday in New York. I mean, in Kentucky. That's the day of my anniversary when I won the title on June 9th, 1978. I fought Kenny Norton, one of the guys that hated Ali, didn't like Ali. Well, there's two guys that didn't like Ali, Joe Frazier and Kenny Norton, because Ali beat him. But he was a great guy, man, and, you know, and some, when I'm talking about him, I want to cry a little bit because, you know, I'm gonna miss him. Even though I didn't see him, like, once, maybe twice, three times a year, I'm going to miss him. And I know a lot of people that were closer than I were going to miss him, too.
Completely understandable. And you mentioned Joe Frazier, and Joe's reading my mind. It seemed as if they had moments when he and Frazier reconciled. They had moments where it seemed as if they were at each other again. And how did it turn out for them in the end? Were they reconciled, or did Frazier go to his grave angry?
They were reconciled, but they weren't reconciled. Bill Frazier was still bitter because, and I seen Joe a lot, you know, off season, that he told me that Ali called him ignorant. And, you know, he didn't like that. He didn't want him calling me. He couldn't match wits with Ali. Ali was too good. People love Ali too much. So when Ali made a joke, everybody laughed at Ali. Oh, Ali, Ali. And that turns you up, you know. That turns you up. But see, what I did with Ali when he was making fun of me, calling me names and stuff like that, and I had to find it. I leave. I walk away. I'm not going to stay there and say, I'll do me. I walk away. Joe Frazier didn't. He stayed there here, you know. He took it. But I walked away. That's the easy way to get out of it, you know.
Yeah.
We do understand. You know, we kind of had a feeling at some point the end was going to come sooner as opposed to later. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the last time you saw Muhammad Ali and how he was and what he was like?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, last time I saw him, how he was, okay? And I'm going to tell you the truth. I came home and told my wife that he ain't got too long. I said, because he's sitting in this chair. I don't know if you've seen it on TV or not, but it was in the middle of me and George Foreman. And George was trying to get him to talk. And I was trying to get him to talk. And I seen what George Foreman said. He said, Ali said this, Ali said that, Ali said this, Ali said that. Ali didn't say a damn thing, okay? Excuse me for my language. He didn't say nothing. Because he had his head down all the time, all the while. And George was steady talking, but he got nothing. And Ali was sweating, and sweat is running down, and somebody came with a towel and wiped him off. That was the spin of it, man. And he sat there for at least 2 hours. And I couldn't go back in the room and see him no more, like sitting like that. And I didn't.
That's got to be a tough last memory. Well, before we let you go, you know, can you kind of summarize your last thoughts about Muhammad as we let you go out the door here?
I'm going to tell you like a lot of people won't tell you. He was one of the greatest fighters of all time. And listen, I want to be the greatest of all time, but I wasn't. I didn't have the charisma that he had. You know, I probably could fight as good as him or better, but I didn't have the charisma to get to you, to get to them or anyone, or to go around the world and meet dignitaries like this man had. This man can pull a rabbit out of his hat, and he did it many, 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 many times. And that's what I like about him. That's what I would miss. And I would miss, I'm the greatest. I am the greatest. I am the greatest. And then the Howard Coach tells me, I like, and Howard say, you ain't the greatest. You talk too much, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, he was just my man. And that's what would be missed. And a lot of people want to come up and say they know him, I know him, he did that. They don't know the man, you know, but I'm just going to tell you what I know of the man. I've been with him since 1971 to 1975 as a spine finder, and then knowing him here and there, seeing him here and there as we went along. And I know his kids when the kids were just 1 year old, and now they're grown women. I know his second wife, the third wife, and fourth wife. I know him. So, hey. They can say what they want, but Larry Holmes knows the real truth about this thing.
And that's why we wanted to have you on so much, Larry. We thank you so much for a few minutes and your recollections of Muhammad Ali. We really do appreciate it, and we can't thank you enough for your very valuable time. And we look forward to talking to you again down the line and focusing a lot on your great career, because you were one of my favorites growing up as well. Thanks so much, Larry. We really do appreciate it. You have yourself a great day now.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. That was Larry Holmes, the Eastern Assassin, joining us here on the Spano and Black Attack. And we can't thank him enough for a few minutes of his time and his recollections on Muhammad Ali. On the other side, more of the Spano and Black Attack as we tie a bow around this hour. You be sure to keep it where it is.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
We're back with the Spano and Black Attack. Sports talk with an edge on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
Joe Frazier, secretly, he loved Muhammad. And Muhammad, obviously, he loved Joe Frazier. Right. The three of us, we were just one guy. You couldn't have one without the other.
What about the all the guerrilla comments and stuff like that? Was that in private? Was it something that was kind of acknowledged as we're doing this to sell a fight and nothing's personal and we're all friends and all love?
I signed to fight Muhammad Ali, and we did it over the telephone. Don King, we got on the phone and we decided we were going to fight. Even agreed for the money. We signed the contract.
Right.
I said, "Do you really want the fight?" Because I knew I was going to kill him. He said, "George, I'll promote it. I tell you, I'll promote it." I said, "Okay." The next day, he's calling me the Frankenstein monster.
Right.
So he didn't mean anything. And we'll always remember him as the butterfly. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. He was the beautiful butterfly. But whatever names we were called, they were all taken as a joke.
Those were the dulcet tones of George Foreman, and he brings us back here to the Spano and Black Attack right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm Joe Spano along with Bob Black. If you want to join the fray, 1-800-878-PLAY is the way to get involved. That number again, 1-800-878-7529. It's the toll-free number to hang out with us here on The Attack. For those that prefer Twitter, at Joe Spano 56, at Bob Black 71, at Sports Byline USA. And Bob, I wanted to bring us back with that clip for one specific reason. For everybody that just got done listening to our interview with Larry Holmes, they heard Larry Holmes say there were two people that didn't like Muhammad Ali. And that was, and those two people were Ken Norton and Joe Frazier. And I had heard George Foreman being interviewed all over the place since the passing of Muhammad was announced on Monday and on Tuesday, and he painted a different picture. Now, I understand Ali and Foreman were opponents in the ring, and in later life, when George became a kinder and gentler George Foreman, and neither of these guys was any longer an active professional boxer, these guys forged a relationship. But I just found it interesting that Larry Holmes, who may not have necessarily the notoriety and fame outside of boxing that George Foreman does, but he was far closer to Ali than Foreman, paints quite a different picture of the relationship between Joe Frazier, Ken Norton, and Muhammad Ali than George Foreman does.
Yeah, he certainly did. And I think I think you have to take all of it with a grain of salt, Joe. And I think if anybody knows, I think it's Larry more than George, and for the reasons you entailed. But it was also something that we asked Larry in the course of the interview, was that Ali and Frazier seemed to have a back and forth with it. I mean, I saw an HBO documentary done on Joe Frazier at one point where he talked about how they had reconciled at one point, but then with Ali's declining health, he also went on to say, well, he's getting exactly what he deserves. He can't do what he can do physically, and he had to shut his mouth because he can't talk anymore. And it was a big level of bitterness that Joe Frazier put out there. So there was certainly anger between the two of them. You know, George said a lot of the stuff that was said in jest, and it, maybe part of it was as far as, you know, the Frankenstein comment and things along those lines.
Well, Frankenstein was directed at George Foreman.
I know. I recognize that. But thank you. The one comment that Ali made that stuck with a lot of people that was completely unacceptable was the gorilla comment to Joe Frazier. It had a white person said it, forget about it. It was even in the time, unacceptable for a fellow African-American to say that about another African-American. And I'm old enough to remember the uproar at the time when Ali said that. Joe Frazier never forgave that comment. Never. And like I said, they may have reconciled at certain points, but that comment in particular, he never forgave Ali for. And Ali, you know, we've painted a nice picture of Ali. He was completely out of line with that comment. And although he never publicly admitted it, I have a feeling it was something he really regretted doing, because it just it was a racist comment coming from a fellow African American.
Well, one thing you know about Muhammad, and here's where George was very much accurate. He would do almost anything to promote a fight, and that bombastic personality that he took a lot of from the pro wrestler Gorgeous George. Really, he would do just about anything to promote a fight, and the opponent didn't have to do much but show up at some of the press conferences. Ali had the promotion and show up on fight night, and really that was the case, as the younger George Foreman wasn't this articulate, great speaker or warm, fuzzy personality that the George Foreman of today is. That's why, and I don't want to call George Foreman a liar, but a lot of these interviews he did, they seem to be, there seems to be some revisionist history, and there seems to be a different picture of what happened than what I recall happening at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't imagine this warm, fuzzy negotiations between a young, angry George Foreman and Muhammad Ali, where they're having a discussion about, do you really want the fight? And he's like, he's talking to George saying, I'll promote it, you just show up. I think there was a lot more acrimony there. He certainly whitewashed the relationship between Frazier and Ali. And I think that's where we'll pick it up on the other side as we move along and kind of continue to talk Muhammad Ali for the rest of this edition of the Spano and Black Attack. We'll take your calls at 800-878-PLAY and your tweets at JoeSpano56, at BobBlack71, or at SportsBylineUSA. More on the greatest right after this.
In that neighborhood, it was almost impossible to get what we could afford. So I had set up alerts on Zillow to say, if anything in this area ever comes below a certain price point, it just popped up one day. Wonderful the house is so cool.
Home means something different to everyone. With millions of homes for sale.
And I was like, oh my God, we have to go see it. It's a really wonderful neighborhood. And then to add on to that, how
bent on Zillow. Whatever home means to you, Zillow can help you find it.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE, 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483 or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS, or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
Geico applauds your inner journey seeker.
Geico gives a hearty pat on the back to the part of you that just wants to get out and ride your motorcycle, to take to the open road and let the wind and bugs fly your way. In fact, bring on the bugs. They can't stop your quest for highway enlightenment. Geico insures not only your car, but also that fine-looking bike of yours, with a custom-tailored policy and the best rates for you. So next time you suit up for adventure, make sure to take Geico along for the ride.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
You're back with the Spano and Black Attack on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
I'll go home and get your shine box.
Fight is coming up. Ali and Frazier, Muhammad Ali. I call him Muhammad Ali because that's what he wants. Oh, yeah, he's a big dude and he hits hard, you know. I'll call him what he wants. But it's good that he's being allowed to work again. As you know, he couldn't work for 3 years. Of course, he had a strange job beating people up. But that was his, you know, his right. He could have that job. Government wanted him to change jobs. Government wanted him to kill people. He thought it over and he said, no, that's where I draw the line. I'll beat him up and I don't want to kill him. And the government told him, well, if you won't kill him, we won't let you beat him up.
That's the late, great George Carlin talking about the late, great Muhammad Ali on the Ed Sullivan Show. And that brings us back to the Spano and Black Attack as we roll on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm Joe Spano. He's Bob Black. 1-800-878-PLAY if you want to talk Muhammad or Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Again, that number, 1-800-878-7529. If you prefer Twitter, weigh in at Joe Spano 56, at Bob Black 71, or at Sports Byline USA. Bob, you know, going in the last segment, at the back end, we were talking about the fact that George Foreman, in a lot of his interviews, whitewashed a lot of the things that had occurred between Muhammad Ali and some others, I guess in an effort to paint a pristine picture of a legend who had passed. Now, Muhammad Ali was a great man in many ways. He was great in the ring. He had the courage of his convictions. You heard the love and affinity that Larry Holmes, Jackie Callen, and many others who joined us had for Muhammad Ali. But like the rest of us, he actually was mortal. He put his pants on one leg at a time, and he was a flawed man. And, you know, he was definitely a flawed man. And the realities are he would go to any lengths to promote a fight, sometimes at the expense of the feelings of others, and really doing it with a mean streak and some vitriol. And as a result, despite the comments of George Foreman, I'm definitely a believer in what Larry Holmes said because of the closeness of their relationship and him being in that camp while all this was going on. Larry Holmes was there. He was the sparring partner. He saw it every day. He knew both of these men. I'm a believer that Joe Frazier didn't like Muhammad Ali and never forgave him for some of the things he did. And we all happen to know that Ken Norton couldn't stand Muhammad Ali, and that's the realities of the situation. A great man in the ring, did a lot of great things out of the ring, but he wasn't flawless. And I think George was trying to paint this pristine picture in Ali's passing in the vein of we never speak ill of the dead. But here on the Spano and Black Attack, we paint balanced and truthful pictures. And the truth is, I think George is kind of whitewashing, and I don't think he's being 100% forthright with us where Larry Holmes has been. And the truth is, Joe Frazier went to his grave not liking Muhammad Ali and never having forgiven him for the vitriol and the personal attacks which he used in an effort to promote these fights.
No question about it. And, you know, again, George, and let's not forget the transition of George. George went in as a wide-eyed amateur who was representing his country, won the gold medal, waved a little American flag as he was going around the ring. And when he came back to the United States, they were basically spitting on him for not being anti-establishment. They were calling him Uncle Tom, and he turned into a very angry human being. And his transition in life happened later when he rediscovered God and became a preacher and all the things that George have become. And I'm not one to criticize that. He found himself as a human being. And I think maybe that's part of the direction that George takes things, is that he doesn't want to see the bad in people. He is a forgiving human being. He seems to have forgiven everybody in his life who did him wrong. And therefore, he kind of paints this rosy unicorn rainbow picture of how things were. I don't think he intentionally wants to mislead people, but I think that's how he views the world, and therefore he feels the rest of the world views it the same way. Again, I'll reference the gorilla comment. Joe Frazier never forgave Muhammad Ali for that comment, and it was as disgusting a comment as I've ever heard uttered out of somebody's mouth. You know, and we've also documented, Joe, some of the things that Ali did in the ring, as far as some of the fighters that he literally physically tortured when he could have put them away and decided to just toy with them and beat the hell out of them for 15 or 12 rounds, depending on what part of it.
Most notably Floyd Patterson, because of his refusal to recognize Muhammad Ali as Muhammad Ali, and he made him pay a dear price, price.
Well, Zora Foley fell into that same category.
Mm-hmm.
And Zora Foley was way overclassed. And Ali, he refused to call Cassius Clay Muhammad Ali, and he went around the ring screaming at him, is the same thing he did with Patterson, what's my name, what's my name? And then he hit him and hit him, what's my name? And he hit him some more, and he could have put him away, and he decided not to. And by the way, the referees could have stopped it, and they decided not to. So, you know, Ali was far, far from a perfect man. You know, we talked about the ring, the professionalism, the various different things that he's done positive. And let's not forget, too, he fathered a bunch of different kids.
Yeah, there was a lot of adultery in Muhammad's life. Larry made mention of four wives. And, you know, there was a lot of finding wife number two while still married with number one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The same way we've talked about Evander Holyfield. And, you know, there were rumors that a lot of these fights would take place abroad so that Muhammad Ali would have time with a, you know, to carry on affairs out of wedlock.
Oh, yeah. Well, it happened in Manila. That's where he met Veronica Porsche, who ended up being wife number four. And his wife showed up in Manila.
That would be wife number three. Lonnie was wife number four.
Excuse me. Yes. But wife number two showed up in Manila when he was basically betting Veronica Porsche. And that was a very unpleasant situation that a number of people have documented. And, you know, it ended up destroying that marriage, obviously. And Ali moved on to somebody else. And, you know, to equate it with what you said about Evander Holyfield, you know, here Evander holds himself as a great Christian. You know, Ali put himself up there as a great Muslim, denying himself alcohol and the virtues of Islam and all that. Well, not so much. You know, and that level of hypocrisy has not really been explored very much this week in the various different programs where various different people have showed up extolling the virtues of one Muhammad Ali.
Again, we're going to present the balanced ticket. A great man in the ring, did a lot of great things outside the ring, had the courage of his convictions in many ways. He impacted a lot of lives in a positive way. You know, there were warts just as there were on anybody else, and we've talked about them here right now. You know, other things as far as his professional career and maybe what you want to go into there. He was a man that didn't like to train and didn't always show up in shape. You know, there were some bouts where he just showed up in terrible shape. If you remember the Jimmy Young fight.
Oh, God,
Jimmy Young was a classy fighter. Let's not kid ourselves. He was a slick boxer. In many ways, a Muhammad Ali very light, and especially at that time as he was in his prime. But Muhammad Ali compared to Jimmy Young is ice cream and horse manure. But Muhammad Ali showed up woefully out of shape. And, you know, he kind of slogged his way to a 15-round decision against Jimmy Young. You know, he didn't like the train. I mean, I remember seeing him on the back page of the Daily News when he went to camp for the first day before the first Sphinx fight. He weighed about 280 pounds. His belly could barely fit in the cup. He liked to eat, and he didn't like to train. He liked to fight, and he liked the money it brought him, but he didn't like to train.
no question about it. And, you know, it's funny you bring up that Jimmy Ellis fight, and I remember it like it was yesterday.
No, the Jimmy Young fight.
Jimmy Young, I'm of the opinion that he won the fight.
And a many lot of people are.
Many people were of that opinion, and they just gave it to Ali. And, you know, it's Ali had some stretches in his career where he was extremely vulnerable. I read a great article that they wrote with are you familiar with George Kolinsky?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the personal photographer. And Kolinsky claimed, I don't know how much truth there is to it, but when he was getting ready to fight Foreman, that he had a long conversation with Ali and talked because Ali did not know how to go about beating George Foreman, according to Kolinsky. And he said, you know, because he was in their training camp and they were very tight between each other. And he
every
said,
every fighter needs to take advice from their photographer.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they were friends. You know, they were legitimate friends and they mm-hmm. talked a lot. And Kolinsky said that one of the things that they discussed when he was starting to train for Foreman and he was taking pictures at the training camp was that Kolinsky referenced how early in his career when he was prepping for the Liston fights that he used to lean up against the ropes and let his sparring partners beat on him so he could get used to taking shots in the gut. You know, they wouldn't hit him in the head, but beat on his body and pound and pound and pound, and then he'd get off the ropes and use his speed, and then, as you referenced with Larry Holmes, beat the hell out of his sparring partners. And Kolinsky supposedly suggested to him that he do that with George Foreman, that he'd punch himself out. And Ali said, oh, so you want me to lay on the ropes like a dope? And he said, well, you know, not like a dope, but, you know, you could use that strategy. And he's so big and he throws such wide punches that you might be able to wear him out. And hence the birth of rope-a-dope. Now, you know, I'll take it with a grain of salt, but the guy was close to Ali and I have no reason to doubt the story.
Well, I mean, and the rest is history. He laid on those ropes and tired out George Foreman. George Foreman punched himself out. Muhammad Ali came back and became the two-time heavyweight champion of the world. He paid a heavy price for it because he took a lot of punishment. I mean, you know, Ali was a trailblazer in so many ways, you know, and he gets credit for it. Some of it was just out of desperation and greed, as, you know, we talked about that interview with Larry Holmes. Ali squandered his money. He had mm-hmm. a lot of hangers on, a big entourage, and, you know, between four wives and everything else, despite making tons of money and more money than any boxer had ever made up until that point, Muhammad Ali wasn't a rich man, fought way too long, took on fights he didn't want to or didn't need to take on for money. And thankfully, he was a worldwide figure. And even after retiring, before getting older and getting really sickly, he was able to, they were able to have advertising campaigns abroad in third world countries that would net Ali money so that he could, you know, again, where, you know, he wasn't poor, but he didn't have the means that he should have had. And he did have moments in his life where he really struggled financially. That said, and I guess one of the examples that he gets credit for some ways, along with Bruce Lee and others, for being a trailblazer and an innovator in that, you know, he did some things that were the forebearer for mixed martial arts. As we all remember, there was that horrible fight between him and Antonio Inoki.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, sold a lot of tickets. And when asked why he took the fight against a professional wrestler, he answered $6 million.
And there
I mean,
you
ultimately,
go.
It led to the advent in some ways of mixed martial arts. And Inoki was a real tough guy. Yes, he was a professional wrestler, but he was a real tough guy. And there were all kinds of stories from, you know, that came out years later for the days leading up to that fight. Ali thought he was going to be in some sort of exhibition, and Inoki's like, no, it's a shoot fight. It's on. And there were rule changes, and it ended up being a farce. But it did hurt Ali going forward because Inoki kicked him so many times in the legs. He had infections and bruises.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Ali never was able to move again, even less then than he was able to before. And never knocked anybody out again. His legs weren't the same. You know, he took on some things that cost him greatly in his boxing career in his zeal to make money, Bob.
Yeah, he made more money. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We'll tie a bow around it for the day here on the Spano and Black Attack right after this.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
You're back with the Spano and Black Attack on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
Welcome back to the Attack. Bob Black, Joe Spano, wrapping it up here for this edition and a terrific show. I want to thank Steve Popper for coming on and Larry Holmes as well. We were talking about Ali's money before we went to break, and his biggest payday was against Larry Holmes. He earned $8 million. He got $6 million from the Thriller in Manila. And $5.5 million for beating George Foreman in the Rumble in the Jungle. And so, you know, combined, he probably ended up earning about $30, $40 million over the length of his career. His net worth at his death was $50 million. And that literally came from the advertising revenue and the trademark phrase, greatest of all time, and the deals with Adidas and EA and all that kind of good stuff. And, you know, he ended up quite wealthy at the end, and he ended up selling the rights. He sold his 80% stake in CKX. And, you know, look, it did he end up okay? Yeah, financially. But unfortunately, the reality is he stuck in the ring too long, and everybody's well aware of how that turned out. And unfortunately, most boxers don't grow old. They certainly don't grow old rich, at least not for the most part. Ali's one of the exceptions. And of course, George Foreman is the notable exception, because after reinventing himself and, you know, all those damn George Foreman grills, I mean, you talk about it, George Foreman is worth $250 million. Ain't nobody getting any hands on those monies, believe me. But, you know, Ali, for all his virtues, has many faults as well. And hopefully we've presented a pretty balanced picture for you. We're not speaking ill of the dead. We're just speaking fact. And reality is that as great as Ali was in some areas, he lacked in certain others. And it needs to be presented on both sides. Well, that's it for this edition of The Attack. We want to thank you all for coming on board. Thanks to Robert for making sure it all stays on the air. Not the easiest of tasks sometimes. Special appreciation to our guests. And we'll be talking to you again tomorrow with a new edition of The Spano and Black Attack. Great day, everybody.